You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station. The BFM Breakfast Grill. Top interviews you can't afford to miss. Presented by the CIMB Group.
Today on The Breakfast Grill, we have Nestle Malaysia Berhad's new Managing Director, Alois Hofbauer. Nestle Berhad is a FMCG behemoth and a household name whose range of products that include Milo, Nescafe, Maggi have been stocking shelves in the country for just about 100 years now. However, the consumer landscape has always been tough and challenges still remains, and that's what we'll ask him about today. Welcome to the show, Alois.
Good morning.
Okay, you actually officially took over from February 22nd from Peter Voigt. How has it been settling in?
Well, settling in was actually quite easy because obviously Malaysia is a beautiful place. My previous assignment was in Sri Lanka, so coming from Sri Lanka to Malaysia is a nice change. Food is great, family enjoys, so actually a beautiful landing.
Yeah, that's good. So Nestle last year actually celebrated its 100th year, and that means a push in terms of your A&P activities. Actually, this will continue. So how will you intend to continue the momentum going for the next couple of months?
Well, 2012 has been actually not only a momentous year for us in regard of celebrating this anniversary, but it was also a quite good year, as you have maybe read from our announcement. But in 2012 also, we have laid the foundations for a good 2013. So building on 2012, 2013 should be, if everything is staying as it is, and so far it looks good, should be another good year.
But what activities are you intending to push forward, carrying on from the celebrations of last year?
Look, guys, we have just launched a couple of new products yesterday. We celebrated 75 years of Nescafe. Nescafe is a brand which is one of our strongest brands, not only in Malaysia, but obviously around the world. Today, just think about that one. Daily, 6 million Nescafe cups are drunk on a daily basis in Malaysia. And Nescafe actually has launched a couple of new products. One of them was this new IPO white coffee, a great tasting product. And at the same time, we also launched basically something called Nescafe Dolce Gusto, which is a coffee system and brings you a great coffee house style coffee to your home. So there's a good pipeline of new products in the making. And so consumer will be delighted as we go.
Well, we'll be talking about the things in your product pipeline a bit later, but as a result of the celebrations, the company actually managed to see a growth of 18.3% for its 2012 earnings. This is actually to 505.4 million compared to 427.1 million the year before. Top line also grew to 4.6 billion compared to 4.2 billion the last year. This is actually all due to strong local demand. But okay, for Malaysia, the elections are around the corner. So analysts are citing actually weaker domestic spending as one of the possible headwinds for Nestle. And one of the reasons to be cautious is that whatever happens after the elections, there could be potential subsidy rationalization post the general elections. So is this a concern for Nestle?
Look, I think elections or no elections, actually you have to drink and eat. Maybe people staying up, watching elections, etc., will have a little bit more Nescafe, will have a little bit more of Milo. So I don't think that the impact on our business, at least in the short run, will be dramatic. If anything, I think what we need to consider is that prices stay competitive. Commodity prices, as you maybe know, over the years have been rising, and they are still on very, very high levels. The real challenge for us is less the macroeconomic environment, but to keep our products competitive in regard of price, compete basically in great taste and nutritional values. So once we offer this one, I think overall in our industry, we should be able to benefit on these items.
Well, in terms of subsidy rationalization, surely that must be a concern. Let's say the government suddenly decides to up the price of sugar, for example. Wouldn't that actually have an impact on somebody like Nestle? I mean, as well as all your competitors.
If fruit prices move up, they move up for everybody. So basically, it's a playing field.
Well, then looking at your latest results, we're talking about raw material costs. Nestle managed to hold its EBITDA margins at about 16.6%. This is just up a little higher than the previous year. And this was actually due to softer raw material costs in the second half of 2012, which actually some people saw as a surprise because the weather front was actually quite severe, as well as your own cost-saving initiatives. what is your actually outlook, do you think, for raw material costs this year?
Look, at the time being, raw materials are actually quite stable. Now, what is going to happen in the second half of the year will very much depend what's happening around the world in regard of economies. Today, still, all we know is Europe is still under severe pressure, so consumption in Europe is down. China is all right, but not really booming, and the US also has its problems. So for the time being, raw material prices seem to be locked in, even so on a high level. What's going to be happening in the second half of the year, we don't know yet.
But you still do hedging for your raw material costs,
don't
you?
We do, yes.
So how long is usually your timeline for it?
Well, it depends. It depends on what products. So it's very, very different between the different products. Some products we would hedge out for 3 months, some products we would hedge out for 6, and others for even for a year.
Well, I think one particular raw material that most people seem to be concerned about is actually milk solids. A lot of your products actually use milk solids, and it's about 2,700 at the US per ton. That's actually still quite high. So do you see that still holding stable, and what have you done to sort of buffer yourself against any kind of movement?
Look, Nestle overall is one of the biggest buyers of milk solids around the world, so obviously we have a certain benefit in scale. However, if milk prices move up, they move up for everybody. At that moment of time, we still are on this 2,700. There are indications that it could go up, but you know, the whole dairy industry is sometimes quite volatile. You can actually go up, go down. It will also really depend on consumer sentiment in the rest of Asia.
And if that happens, you will eventually pass on your cost to your customer.
Well, that's the last thing what we want to do. In the end of the day, what we want to keep prices stable. We want to give a good value perception to the consumers. But obviously, if prices are going up on a big scale, there is no choice. We will have also to pass that on.
Well, the other thing to look at is the fact that Nestle over the past few years have been doing cost-cutting initiatives, or at least cost-saving initiatives. It's actually been taking place for quite a while. And a lot of analysts have lauded it, said it's good, you've kept a good handle on your cost, but how much more can you continue to cut? And how much more can you continue to put these kind of measures in place once the low-hanging fruit is gone?
Well, I think it's a little bit about the sports. Huh? If you basically keep your body lean and actually energetic, you continuously have to go through and see where is the excessive fat, or where basically are the areas which do not really add value to the consumers. Our consumers are not buying basically for a high back office operation, they're buying for a great product at a competitive price. So what we do is we do on a continuous basis, we look through our whole value stream and we see what are the value-added components and what are the ones which do not add value. So that's an ongoing process in the end of the day. So there's never an end to it. It's actually a cycle who continues to go on.
So what other areas are you looking to probably just sort of, you were mentioning that, you know, you can see some areas where you can actually trim. What areas within your operations that you think you can continue to trim?
Where do we have to stay competitive? Actually, we have to look into what we call basically a lean process. So how much basically do you need areas like back office operations to produce a great product? So we always look into our processes. How do we actually streamline them? How do we make them simpler? And actually, it's a double benefit. It's not only a benefit for the consumers if we get actually our costs under control, but the benefit also for the employers, because they can work faster, they are more happy, basically. And so this keeps a company like ours on the go.
Well, Nestle actually has a new plant due in Shah Alam. This was actually after the company had bought land from BAT in 2010. It's supposed to be built in stages and it's complete by 2014. Can you give us the latest update?
Yeah, so this is a beautiful site which we bought just beside our old Shah Alam factory. It's going to be a factory which is going to cater for a trend which obviously everybody sees around. It's for ready-to-drink products. Groundbreaking ceremony will be somewhere in June, and then we hope to be in full operation by the middle of 2014.
Once this plan is fully up and running, how much in terms of capacity will you actually see in a boost for your products?
So what you will see is you will see more or less a double of capacity.
So then that will continue. And when once that comes on in stages, is it only for the ready-to-drink mix section?
That's the first investment which we have embarked on. And then later on we'll see, because there's still plenty of space there, what else will be done to broaden our manufacturing capabilities.
If there's plenty of space in that area, do you see adding more lines eventually? Post-2014.
Yeah, let's fill up first the lines which we got, and then we'll talk further from there.
We have on the Breakfast Grill today Alois Hofbauer, the Managing Director for Nestle Malaysia Berhad. Coming after this, what's new in the pipeline for the company and their plans for CapEx?
Bond frustrates Moneypenny. BFM 89.9.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning, we have Alois Hofbauer, Nestle Malaysia Berhad's Managing Director. So Alois, when we were last left it, CapEx is the biggest push usually for an FMCG company. It's always been the main question when, I'm sure when you go, most people ask you that. So in 2012, your CapEx was 158 million. Because with the new plant coming on stream and other plants, what's your guidance for 2013?
So as we're in the close period, I can't give you really a detailed figure, but I think what is important, you have seen over the years, and this could be a little bit of a guidance for you, that Nestle has continued to invest actually in our manufacturing capabilities and basically in our manufacturing volumes. So this will go on and continue as we are going into the year.
But it is projected to be higher this year.
It's going to be a good one.
Well, beyond capacity expansion, I mean, some will argue that it's basically the constant capacity expansion for Nestle that's actually driven all the earnings. That's why you had the cost savings and so forth. But beyond capacity expansion, what is there? You know, how is Nestle intending to grow?
Well, one way is obviously that we actually invest in our existing products. You know, we have actually household brands like Milo, Nescafe, Maggi and so on. And these big pillar brands have to be nourished. At the same time, we are going into new areas. I mentioned before, something completely new and relatively new to the market is systems. Nescafe Dolce Gusto, which is, we are opening up these Nescafe Dolce Gusto shops. Totally different new concept. You have capsules and it gives you a coffee house style experience at home. So one is to grow the core business and the other one is obviously to add new businesses, new categories to our portfolio.
But saying that, most people in FMCG will actually try, let's say, 10 new businesses and see what happens. In the event it doesn't work, does Nestle have any qualms about pulling it?
Well, what we do is we basically look at things very, very carefully. And once we are convinced that we go in for the long haul. Think about it. A product like Milo took maybe 20 years to be built. Some of you may know a product like Nespresso has become very, very famous, obviously, also because of the George Clooney supporting it. No, this product has took us 20 years, but today it's a billion-dollar business. So you have not only to be convinced that your product is good, but also you have to have the stamina to go through and build it over many, many years.
I understand that you're in a close period, so you can't really give guidance, but so far, from what you have seen for the first quarter, has it been quite? Has the sentiment been quite good, at least carrying on from last year?
Overall, I think the start of 2013 was quite encouraging. And as I said to you, I can't give you any details on figures. But food and beverage business overall was quite strong.
What is your actually ultimate plan for a number of plants? I know within your plants you have various belts. That's why, you know, your one plant may actually house different compartments. So, like you say about the 2014 land, but what is the ultimate plan for Nestle in terms of plants?
Well, the ultimate plan would be long out, but actually what we have today is we have 7 plants in Malaysia, and we have another 2 plants in, actually, not many people know, in Singapore. We just acquired a company from Pfizer, Wyatt Nutrition, which has a beautiful new plant in Singapore. So altogether within the region, we have 9 plants and altogether 7,000 people. Why is it that we have invested in plants in Malaysia over the many years? Because Nestle Malaysia is a center of excellence for halal production. And today, and this is also what people, not everybody knows, is we are actually exporting over 50 countries around the world. And our export on halal products is over 1 billion, and that's significant numbers.
Well, we're talking about Pfizer. That was actually a purchase to buy infant milk, and that happened, I think it was last year or so, if I remember correctly. So it was a new, actually, division in a way for Nestle. And I know that decisions for M&As in particular are made by the parent company, but have you been looking in this region, or at least has there been indication given for this region for any potential targets, keeping in theme with the consolidation that's happening with FMCG players?
No, not yet. It looks like that. Actually, you have two angles how you look at acquisitions. One is on a worldwide basis, and Pfizer was a worldwide acquisition, and that is obviously driven by our head office in Switzerland. But if we see actually good opportunities in the region, obviously we'll go back to our parent company and discuss with them.
So you do not rule out the point that you will actually see there's potential targets here as well?
Well, if there's an opportunity, we would be very, very happy to discuss about it.
The thing is, these days, you've seen assets for FMCG actually go at very high premiums. You think that these are justified at the moment?
Well, what you buy is actually you buy a certain stability, a certain security, because as we talked before, whatever the times, people have to eat and drink. So, and also, you mentioned it by yourself, the company has been led in a very, very solid way, strong fundamentals. So it's in many ways, obviously, a stock which gives you, let you sleep at night. Let's put it like that.
Well, talking about stock price, actually, Nestle's share price has been on a tear. It's most people tend to buy FMCG stocks as defensive plays because of the dividend yield. Given, like you said, the nature of the business, people still need to eat and drink. But, you know, the last that I looked at the share price was 60 ringgit and 98 cents. And if you 3 years ago, if you looked at the same time, it was 34 ringgit and 62 cents. And that's actually quite, you know, that is quite an increase. Do you think the share price will still continue to go up based on your fundamentals, or at least the guidance that you've given?
Look, what we try to do is we try to do business at its very best. We try actually to grow the top. We want to do incremental improvements on the bottom line. So in the end of the day, the share price follows a sound business. I'm not worried so much what the share price is doing. I'm actually, my focus is how do we improve the company, and by giving good results, I think the investors will make their own choice.
Would you ever actually consider a stock split?
I don't think that's on the agenda right now.
Not now at the moment, no. Is it? So what would you answer to people who then say that, you know, people like Nestle are defensive? I mean, of course, the share price has proven it since. But do you still consider, you know, your company to be a defensive play? Or do you really see that the growth opportunities are there?
Well, I don't know what you how you define defensive. If you want to ensure that your money is kept in a relatively safe place, I think maybe Nestle is not a bad choice. Obviously, if you're a gambler, there may be other things out there, but we all know, no risk, no gain. But on the other side is many people have been shocked a little bit in the last few years. Don't forget about 2008, right? You know, obviously today the markets are up again, but we all know that the fundamentals out there are not yet really changed. Europe is still in a recession. We just had Cyprus. The US is still, you know, is it really out of the recession? And so many, many uncertainties. So once again, if you want to have a good sleep, I think Nestle is not a bad bet.
Well, export sales were the only soft point that most analysts pointed out in terms of your results, and they say they have been weaker. So how are you intending to rectify this?
Look, export sales for us is that we mostly sell to our affiliated companies. And let's call a spade as the business is growing around the region in Asia, and there's a lot in investment in manufacturing capabilities. Obviously, there is shifts of certain products from Malaysia eventually to a place like Vietnam and so on and so on. Because these, so for us, in the end of the day, we will actually lose some, we will gain some. So in the end of the day, this is something which will be a strong pillar. But the number one concern of ours is actually the regional growth, the growth in the domestic market.
Well, we've been talking about it off and on throughout the interview about certain new products, but can you actually put a number as to how many new products will Nestle be launching this year?
The number actually doesn't really matter. In the end of the day, it is the impact these products have. So it doesn't really make too much of a difference if you launch 10, 20 products and they incrementally improve a little bit, or you have two or three really big ones. So for me, the focus is not to go out and do a huge number of new products, but actually to identify really big opportunities and really go after them.
Could you just give us an example of what you mean in the sense of like Nescafe, you were talking about the new market where you had the capsules and everything. Mm. So what else will you kind of do to grow the brand, and what's up for things like Milo and Maggie?
So these are the existing core businesses, as we talked about it. For these ones, you have two ways, actually, to accelerate the growth. Number one is basically you come in, and that's what you mentioned, with new offerings. The other one is you also can work on the existing products and just make them better, because people basically love to have a Milo in different varieties. So one of them is your favorite Milo as a Milo powder. Then you have Milo basically as a ready-to-drink offering. You have Milo basically in out-of-home and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of opportunities to give people more choices, actually to consume a great cup of Milo or have a great cup of Nescafe.
Well, we're talking about infant and halal products. Are those the two new sectors that Nestle is looking at to grow, and do you see really good potential for them?
Well, actually, both of them are not new to the business. Huh? So infant actually is one of our staples over you know, the company is over 100 years old and was one of the founding products of the company. And halal, Nestle basically started off halal at the very beginning. So these are not new. These are basically pillars we have been building.
Yeah, and pillars that you've been building, but they've definitely taken, I mean, compared to the brands you better know, you know, like things for halal, for example, it's actually part. You know, you can actually make your products halal along the way. But as a sector in particular, are you launching products that you think will actually grow those segments, new ones this year?
So when you talk about basically culinary, we just talked, we just launched a product which is really, really new concept. It's called Maggie Magic. It actually allows you to prepare a nice chicken with different varieties, chicken curry, etc., at home in a plastic, foodproof plastic bag. You don't have to add any oil. Just put the chicken in. A little bit of spices are in there, and it gives you a great tasting meal. Perfect for the busy housewife.
Well, Nestle is very known for its strong branding, but you know there's a lot of competition out there. How much are you putting in R&D this year too, in order to you keep ahead of the competition? Because you cannot afford to be complacent. Nobody can afford to be complacent.
So we have different levels of R&D. One is actually obviously the local one, where we see what we basically do on a local basis. Because food, don't forget about that one. Food is local. Huh? It's not basically, even you go from the north to the south of Malaysia, from west to east Malaysia, the taste buds can be quite different. So when it comes about food, a lot of the development's done locally. But then when it comes to other products, for example, Nescafe and so on, we do developments on regional basis, we do developments on global basis and so on and so forth. How much do we put in average, actually, when you look at it, Nestle invests around 3 to 5% year on year, sometimes more, sometimes less, in continuous investment in our R&D.
Well, talking about this continuous investment, as a result, we were mentioning your margins earlier. Do you expect this quantum to stay pretty much the same going to the year, you know, barring a massive drought somewhere in the world?
Well, I don't know about massive drought, but in the end of the day, I think our model, and this is also what you can read in our reports, is continuous improvement. So we improve basically on our top line, and then we also continuously try to get a certain improvement on the bottom line. So margins, if anything, have to go up.
What are the biggest challenges you think that Nestle are facing this year?
Well, the challenge is obviously going to be what is going to happen in the world economy, because there could be impacts which none of us would know today. The other one is, as you rightly mentioned, is where are commodity prices going? Because if commodity prices would explode, obviously there would be a certain point where we have no choice but also to pass on some of that to our consumers. And overall, I think what is the challenge for us is just to be relevant to the consumers and actually give them offerings which they like.
Well, in February, Nestle declared the final dividend of 155 per share. Total was 210 for 2012. The yield's about 3.6%, been going up. Are you intending to maintain this, or do you expect there to be a better year or a bumper dividend for your shareholders?
Well, as you know, I can't actually tell you today what the dividend is going to be, but I think look a little bit back in our history and you may get some guidance there.
Well, on the Breakfast Grill this morning, we've had Alois Hofbauer, the MD for Nestle Malaysia Berhad. Thank you, Alois, for being on with us today.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Nadia Hassan for BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by the CIMB Group, Southeast Asia's leading universal bank. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.